we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5, making this station your turn to station to hear the Word of God first thing of a morning, or while you're at work or on your way home from work. We truly appreciate you tuning in to 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we've been doing this program for about 3.5 years now, and we've been in Isaiah, it seems like, for about 3.5 years. No, it hadn't been quite that long. But we've gone through the book of Isaiah and coming down to the end of it here. A few more broadcasts, and then we will move on to another topic. But we want to take just a little bit of time to invite you one more time to our anniversary celebration this coming weekend, our 65th anniversary as a church. And I'm so thankful. Several years ago, I heard that a church our age, on average, it takes about 83 people to see one person in a year make a decision for Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that we see a lot more people accepting Jesus than just one or two a year. So we're very thankful for that. We'd love to impact more, and so that's why we are on the radio to empower you with the Word of God so that you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your friends, and see Brevard become a trophy of God's grace. And so with that in mind, 65th anniversary is Saturday night at 6:30, June the 10th, 6:30 p.m., and June 11th, 10:30 a.m., and Jerry Hill, whose husband Steve Hill was used greatly by God in the Brownsville Revival, as well as a missionary to Argentina and around the world. And his passion was souls. His passion was souls. And so we're looking forward to what God is going to do. And so if you are looking for a refreshing touch from God, we want to invite you to come out and be a part of this wonderful, wonderful celebration weekend. Saturday night is for those who have a church that they go to on Sunday morning, but you'd like to come, and maybe you've just never been to Merritt Assembly of God, you'd like to come and hang out with us as we worship God for a night. We are believing that the presence of God is going to fill the house, that God is going to answer our prayers. We'll be talking about that more in the next couple of broadcasts, but make plans to attend if you can. If you can't, then if you would, just pray for us that we would have a wonderful encounter with God. We're in Isaiah, the 65th chapter. Isaiah, the 65th chapter. I'm not going to read the whole passage for you today, but I will pick up reading in verse number 17 so you get the context here of where we're going to begin. We're going to begin our study today in verse number 20, but contextually, it begins at verse number 17, which says, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So he says that God's going to create these new heavens and a new earth, and it's going to be a time of great rejoicing. Not only are the people of God going to be rejoicing, but God himself is going to be rejoicing as well. And so it begins to, in verse number 19, talking about the voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And so, like I said on yesterday's broadcast, there are some things that are not going to be part of the new creation that God makes. Are there some things that as God does a new work in your life and in my life, is it okay if there are some things that don't make that journey along with us? You know, my wife and I, we moved frequently and often when we were early married. I counted it up one time, and I think we had moved like 14 times in 11 years. Some of them were just kind of transitional, but we moved a lot. And eventually we got to the point where there were some things I was just tired of moving. That they didn't fit. They didn't fit on the new journey. And so we're going to talk about some things that are characteristic and beneficially characteristic in this new creation that Isaiah is prophesying about here. Weeping is one of those things that's going to be excluded, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great if there was nothing that caused you heartache or sorrow or pain or suffering or torment? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, that's what this prophecy is talking about. He said, I'm going to create a completely new atmosphere, and there's not going to be any stimulus that is going to result in people weeping. There's you can think of whatever those things might be, but God says there's not going to be any weeping, no crying is going to be heard there. Verses 20 through 22 begin to talk about some other things, and a prolonged lifespan being restored is one of the things that is described there. You and I don't know if you've encountered someone who died at a very young age, and it's like, wow, that's really, really young. And so when I was at district council, a number of our ministers had passed away, and they were in their 80s and their 90s. This is over the last year. And then all of a sudden there was one up there, and he was younger than I was. And it's like, oh, that sounds a note that says, you know, that's a reality that we all face. I remember when I was in Bible college that we were going through the Old Testament, and I'm turning back to the chapter now, in Genesis chapter 5 is the genealogy of Adam, and we read that, and the professor said, what is the one thing that almost everybody in this passage has in common? And there were some hypotheses, and he said, with the exception of Enoch, all of them died. All of them died. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. But in this new heaven and this new earth, instead of having diminished lifespans, instead of having shortened lifespans or lifespans that were just existent and there was no real joy or satisfaction or pleasure or anything like that, God says, I am going to increase. I'm going to cause the trend to reverse, and there is going to be prolonged lifespans. Now, the Bible tells us that there are some things that are very, very necessary for us to live long and enjoy our life. And the first one is honor. We need to make sure that we are people who honor our father and mother. Now, I'm an adult, and my kids are adults, and my parents are still alive. And so even though I'm an adult, I'm still given the privilege of honoring my father and my mother. Does that mean that we necessarily agree all the time? No, but there are ways that you can go about a situation where even if you have a different perspective on something, you can still honor them. And I think we lose that not only in our family dynamic from time to time, but in a political sense here in America, we lose that as well, because if the person that is occupying an office disagrees with us or has the wrong party affiliation in front of their name, we think that it gives us a free license to dishonor them, and I want you to know that that is not the case. There is a way to honor somebody in a manner that still invites them to come back to God. And so rather than being derogatory and demeaning and insulting and threatening, we need to remember that God says, let me take you back to Exodus chapter 20 so that you hear it from the mouth of God yourself, at the word of God. It says in verse number 12 of Exodus 20, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So honor is very important. I believe that honor is a threatened commodity in our modern society. There is too much dishonor and not enough honor. And how we treat others is going to very much be indicative of how we are treated ourselves. The other thing is we need to be able to say, God, I'm honoring you. I've got you in the right place. I don't have my priorities out of order. I have things lined up in accordance to you. And God, this is what you've given to me, and I want to make sure that I get to stay in this position as long as possible. If you read through the Old Testament, if you read where the children of Israel were carried off into captivity by the Assyrians, you will find that it was because of their unfaithfulness to God. Unfaithfulness is still a serious issue. Okay? I want to be faithful to my wife. I want my wife to be faithful to me. My church wants me to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to God. Unfaithfulness is not something that has become extinct. It is unfortunately too prevalent in our society, and unfaithfulness still has a penalty. It still has a price tag. There's still a great deal of expense that comes with it, and the price tag is too long. And so the children of Israel were actually removed from the land, and it was prophesied even before that they were removed that they would return. And so that happened under Cyrus, and thankfully here we have seen Israel as a nation restored here in the past 70 or 80 years. You know, I'm not doing the exact math, so if you calculate it out for me and I'm off a year or two, it's okay. We need to be faithful to God if we want to experience long life. Do you realize how fragile life is? God doesn't really have to do anything in order for us to expire. All he would have to do is withdraw his hand of blessing. And folks, if we don't have air to breathe, we're going to die. So I'm thankful that God says, I'm going to prolong lifespans in this new heaven and earth. The dynamic of what God is going to create to replace is something that is of much higher quality. In verse number 21, it says, "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people." And as I was looking at that, I realized that in this new heaven and new earth, that people's dreams would be realized. Why do you plant a garden? Why do you plant an orchard? Why do you plant a vineyard? Why do you plant anything? You know, a tomato plant. Why do you build a house? You have a dream inside of you that you are going to get to participate in the fulfillment or living in that. There's something about that. There's this dream that's God, and I've spent my life pursuing this dream. And God says, in this new heaven and this new earth, you are going to not only have the dream, you are not only going to be involved in the implementation of it, but you are going to be involved in the reality of it. You're going to get to experience yourself. My wife and I, when we began our ministry, we began our ministry as a plowing type ministry, where we oftentimes found ourselves in positions that were not easy. They were extremely difficult. They were extremely hard. There were people that came to me a few years into Merit Assembly of God and says, "Why is everything here so hard?" I said, "Look, anybody can function in an easy environment." So there was a plowing and a sowing season there. But we believe that God has also said that this is going to be a season where we get to experience the reality. A lot of those early experiences, we would sow and we would plow and we would do a lot of hard work. And then someone else would come along after we've left, and they would experience a harvest. That was okay. You know, God's the Lord of the harvest. We just want souls to be saved, and we want God to be glorified. But God, when we came to Merit Assembly of God, has assured us that we are not only involved in the sowing and the plowing and the breaking up of the hardened ground to prepare it for sowing and making it fruitful, but that we would experience the goodness of God. My promise from God that brought us to Merit Assembly of God is in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And, you know, the translation that I was reading out of in my devotional said, "And the God of all glory will himself come and pick you up and place you where you want you and cause you to be fruitful and after you have suffered a little while." And it's like, okay, so we can go through the difficulty, but we are so thankful. And in fact, I was having this conversation. If I had bailed earlier during a difficult season, I would have missed seeing and experiencing some of the greatest blessings that God has ever had. I pray that you have the gift of stubborn. I've described that myself that way a number of times, that I'm not stubborn against the things of God. I'm not stiff-necked against the things of God. I am stubborn for the things of God. And so whenever somebody says, "But look at this," that it you know, this goes back 20, 25 years ago, 4 years ago, where some of these conversations took place, and people said this, and I would say, "But the Word of God says this." And they would say this, and I would say, "But the Word of God says this." You see, you've got to be stubborn to say, "God, you know what? You have given me a dream in my heart. You have given me some things that I'm holding true to. In spite of the opposition, in spite of the evidence, and I'm saying, you know what? We are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." So what dream do you have? Joseph's dream looked like it was the farthest thing in the world away from being something that he would realize in his lifetime. He had been sold as a slave, and then he had been put into prison. He had been forgotten by everyone he had ever served and everyone he had ever helped. And within 24 to 36 hours after a prolonged period of disappointment and not thinking that the dreams and visions God had given to him were ever going to come to pass, within a 24 to 36 hour period of time, he had been elevated from a prisoner to the prime minister of Egypt. And then it wasn't long after that that his brothers came and then his father came and God brought his dreams to pass. And so may you allow God to create the situation and the circumstances in your life that your dreams will be realized. Amen. Whether it's building a house, you'll get to live in it. Whether it's planting something, you'll get to partake of it. God wants you to experience all of that goodness. The third thing is in verse number 22, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. You know, I tell people that pastoring is something that you do by faith. There are not a lot of times where you see immediate results or immediate transformation in people's lives. Heart change takes a while. Lifestyle change takes a while. And when you're dealing with people, it is not like working with a raw material. They have a will. They have a choice to make. They get to make a decision whether they're going to implement the word or not implement the word. They're going to make a choice of whether they're going to worship or not worship, study or not study. They make choices every day with the words, the information that has been entrusted to them. And so there was a work day that we had scheduled. It was actually several work days years ago. And when we got finished, we became, you know, okay at it. And we had a bunch of 70 and 80 year old people out there that were doing the work for the most part. But after that last work day and the last piece of raw material had been put into place and everybody had gone home, I went outside and I just stood there for a moment and I looked at it. And I appreciated what God had been able to empower us to do. My son and I had gone and spent a day working with someone who was skilled in that area. We videotaped his work. We showed that film to people that were at the church to do the work. And we said, we can do this. We can make this a reality. And there it was. We had experienced. I got to just enjoy for a moment what it was like to be able to go back at the end of a day and say, wow, it looks different. There was a sense of momentary satisfaction with that project. You may not get to see that with the ministry. One of the highlights of my ministry happened probably 5 or 6 years ago when a young lady who had been in our church and in our youth group and had grown up to be an adult and had entered into the military. She was back in the area, but not on Merritt Island. She was visiting family down in Melbourne, and we had lost touch with her, but she said, I want to go and I want to visit Merritt Assembly of God. And I was the only one there. It was on a Sunday afternoon. She said, I just want to go back because those people made a difference in my life. And that was so enriching. And so here it says, my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. What are you working on that has eternal value? You see, because that building project we did, it's going to burn. One day it will deteriorate. Somebody will come along and they will rip it out and they will put in something better. What are you working on that has eternal value because God wants you to enjoy that? What if I told you that serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would enrich you more than the people that you are serving? I was talking about this with one of our board members here not too long ago who had done some teaching earlier, and I said, here's what I found, that when preparing to teach, I always learn more than what the students are going to learn, because there gets, you can only minister out of your overflow, out of your abundance. And so God makes sure that he provides more than enough so that there's something there. So serving opens you up to even greater blessings than just sitting under the ministry of someone. God wants you and I to enjoy our work. I hope that you have an eternal project that God has you working on, because you and I, heaven is not just meant for you to be worshiping Jesus. Heaven is meant for every man, woman, and child that is breathing to make a decision and say, God, forgive me of my sins, be the Lord of my life. And you and I should be operating with the heart of an evangelist, where we are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Enjoy the work of your hands. I pray that whatever you are going through right now, that you are able to do it with joy. You see, joy is talked about an awful lot in this passage of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 65, joy is a mark of distinction. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's something that emboldens us. It is not a joy that the world gives. It is a joy that Jesus gives. And so I pray that as you are serving God, that you will enjoy not only the dream being realized, but you will enjoy the process of seeing that dream realized. So where are you at? Do you have a smile on your face today? Do you have a smile in your spirit today? Is there a peace of God that passes understanding that's flowing through you right now? Or are you going through a situation and, you know, Job said this, I loathe my life and therefore I give free rein to my complaint and voice the bitterness of my soul. There are too many unhappy Christians. There's a need for more people to be experiencing the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I pray today that as God is at work in your life, that you will see a whole new quality of life, that you'll see your dreams realized, and that you will see the joy of the Lord a daily manifestation in your life. It'll be like one of those things. Did I just really see what I saw? Did I see a person smiling? Did I see a person singing and with joy in their heart? I pray that God will make that a reality. Father, I pray today, Lord, that every person is listening. Lord, they will see a whole new quality of life. God, that they will see dreams realized and they will enjoy the process of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.